Brilliance Audio presents Revolutionaries by Joshua First, performed by George Newbern. The true revolutionary is guided by a great feeling of love. Ernesto Che Guevara. Part 1. Volunteers. Call me Fred. I hate freedom. That's some crap Lenny dreamed up to keep people like you talking about him. And it worked, right? I mean, you didn't drive all the way up here with your tape recorder and backpack full of good intentions to learn about me. I'm just the kid. What you want is more of him. More of the 60s hoopla. All that rebel music. The tie-dyes and free love and taking it to the streets. Even now, 28 years after he died, you can't get enough. So, fine. It's been like that my whole life. Who am I to judge? By the time Lenny was the age I am now, he'd changed the world. Or, anyway, that's what he would have claimed. And me? I'm just some dude who's done some carpentry, some bathtub restoration. Sustained myself by staying out of sight. I've worn ironic t-shirts and thought ironic thoughts about the commodification of revolution, worked at coffee shops and bookstores. Whatever it took, I've run some scams, I've had scams run on me. I've deflected, and I've survived. If there's one thing you learn when you're Lenny Snyder's son, it's how to bullshit your way on through to the next day. But really, I don't know anything about anything. Except Lenny, I guess. I know a lot about him. I know I let him down. But he let me down, too. Why? How? Well, where to start? I guess with him. Lenny Snyder, Alpha Omega. This might take some time. You want coffee? I've got instant. If Lenny were here, he'd say he cut his teeth as a freedom rider. Did that for years. Learned how to organize from John Lewis himself. Eventually, he found himself hanging around Liberty House, the storefront on Bleecker where the SNCC sold its tchotchkes. He spent his days unpacking hand-woven rugs and wooden earrings, burlap dolls with button eyes, stocking displays with pickled green tomatoes and peach jam. Doing his part for the poor black folk of Mississippi by hawking their product to the guilt-ridden, socially conscious engagé in New York. Feeling restless, wasted, no longer in the action, just a good-intentioned shopkeeper shilling for snick. He'd say things were happening there in the city, a new energy gusting through the streets, blowing the youth of America. Kids nobody wanted. Kids who'd lost faith in their parents' gods, over the bridges, through the tunnels, and into the city. They'd wander around the shop, a bit dazed, a bit hungry. Not exactly sure why they were there. They'd go for the candy. Peppermint, caramel. They'd weigh it, shyly, in their hands. Ask how much, and when he told them, they'd say, groovy, and pretend to browse for another minute before placing it all back on the shelf. Without a word, they'd shuffle out of the store and hump it back to the Lower East Side, where they'd shiver and starve and wonder what they'd been thinking by coming to this town. He'd stare out the window, watching them go, and think, why am I in here when I should be out there? Snick would be just fine without a Jew boy like him ringing up sales and balancing the books. Lenny would say, these kids, they weren't hippies. What was a hippie? A hippie was something he hadn't invented yet. These kids were just runaways attuned to the cosmic vibes in the air. They had draft cards to burn and were looking for something new, whatever that might be, an alternative to the Southeast Asian quicksand rising invisibly around their ankles. Well, he knew what it was. That something new was him. He stopped cutting his hair. He put away the Oxford shirt and the dress slacks, threw on...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?